Amir Talibecilović. I'm coming from Sarajevo, capital of Bosnia, where I work as a local guide and as a journalist. We have many proverbs, like the rest of the Balkans. And for this time, I will use one journalist one. We will say like, Sloboda govora je zajamčena, ali ne I sloboda poslije govora. There is a guarantee for the freedom of speech, but not the freedom after the speech. Sloboda govora je zajamčena, ali ne I sloboda nakon govora.
Have you ever dreamed of leaving everything behind and just hitting the open road for months, several months, why not? Maybe even a few years. Well, about a decade ago, Kristina Nielsen did just that. When she sold nearly all of her possessions, she bought a motorhome, spent 5 years crisscrossing the American West from British Columbia all the way down to the tip of Baja Peninsula in Mexico. Along the way, she explored remote and wild places. She stared down a grizzly and even had close encounters with mountain lions and gray whales. From this experience, Kristina Nielsen wrote her book, Drive Me Wild. Kristina joins us now to inspire us to sell everything, get in an RV, and go for it. Is that right, Kristina?
That's absolutely right.
Whoa. Now, let's just talk about this. First of all, I was fascinated that you spent the first year of your adventure just going up and down the West Coast visiting friends in your RV, and you called your RV the perfect guest house. How so?
Yeah, that was a surprise. Didn't realize that that was what I was going to end up doing, but I realized that this was the perfect time to go and see friends, and it's the perfect guest house because you take your own house with you. You're not entering somebody else's space. You're parked outside. You are plugged in, and you still are interacting on a daily level for several days at a time. It's not like you're catching lunch. You're catching days.
It takes you a little longer to wear out your welcome.
That's absolutely right.
Now, typically, RV travelers stay in RV parks, and you could do a whole book on that. But you didn't. You did something called boondocking. What do you mean by boondocking?
That's right. Boondocking is when you go into a wide open space like the BLM.
BLM, what's that?
That's the Bureau of Land Management. These are the open spaces of the West, the land that's public lands and the forest from the Forest Service. And you find beautiful places to park. And the beauty of it is that you can park in these places unless it's designated that you cannot.
Okay, so you and your partner, Jay, are driving down the street and it's getting late in the day and you kind of think, time to boondock. Let's scout a place to park for the night. How does that work?
Yeah, that's exactly the way it works. We are pulling a Honda, and if we find a place where we want to pull off, we unhitch the car, and I go scouting. I have the walkie-talkie, and I take off on a little two-track road, and I'm looking for a place for us to park where nobody else is.
Oh, because you want to be away from traffic and stuff like that, so you got to scout the back roads.
Absolutely. We are on the two tracks.
Yeah.
The motorhome that we chose to live in has a high clearance.
Okay.
And it's not one of these ones that has a 6-inch clearance, so that we could get on those back roads. Sometimes we were up at 11,000 feet off two track roads.
Jay's back with the RV and you're running around in the little car. How do you know the perfect, hey, we're going to plant it here. What do you look for?
I look for something level.
Yeah.
I look for something that's going to give me a good vantage point in terms of being able to see the sky with the stars at night. Something that is near water, if possible, because I'm a birder. I love birds and I love to watch migrations.
And is there a law of the land that says, like, this is government owned and if you've got an RV, you can spend the night here as long as you don't mess things up?
That's right.
And do you feel safe out there in the middle of nowhere?
You know, I feel perfectly safe.
You did this for years and nobody ever with a chainsaw came after you and wanted to kill
you? No, and you know what? I'm still doing it.
It's
been 10 years and now I'm with my dog and my cat, but I am still going up and down the roads.
Good
with
for
a, with
you.
With a pickup and a travel trailer, not an RV.
There's too many people looking at milk cartons that have some kidnapped kid and they won't go out of their house anymore, you know? Is there a camaraderie on the road among RVers, or did you just avoid them and you did this parallel thing, this boondocking?
You know, I did both. You know, for the most part, you know, I'm a writer. I love to be in solitude. That's my MO. But there are times, you know, with that motorhome, we could be out there for 2 weeks because we had the holding tanks and, you know, we could have the amount of water Mm-hmm. 2 weeks was our limit. But after that time, we would come in and most likely end up in an RV park to be able to do laundry.
Well, there's the practical value of checking in with that to probably dump
That's
your tanks and do laundry and just have some fun with some other human beings.
And, you know, the RV community is it's a very special community. For one thing, they don't talk about roles. You know, it's very refreshing that way when you pull in and you start to talk to somebody. It's not, what did you do for a living?
Mm.
It's, well, how are you today? And, you know, gee, that's a great rig you're driving. You know, it's very much in the moment.
I've got relatives that do that, and I get that sense that there really is a complicity and a camaraderie in that crowd. Now, it is tight corners, and you're day in and day out with your partner, and you and Jay had a rule to be alone in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Not with each other.
Right.
Explain.
Yeah, that became very clear because he was a writer as well. And even though we had our separate spaces in the motorhome, it was real important that we were able to live out our own rhythms separately as well. So we would have certain number of hours apart every day and then come together in the afternoon to hike or do what we might want to do.
I like that. That's the same thing for traveling anywhere. So many people go through their trips like they're in a three-legged race, and they're offended if somebody wants to have a little space. And I think you need an explicit understanding at the very beginning. Hey, I really like you. I'm glad we're doing this together, but I need a couple of hours because I'm sick and tired of Monet paintings. I want to go down to the dock or something like that.
Yeah, and,
you know?
And just to feel your own rhythm again.
That's right. How did you spend your mornings apart from Jay?
I spent my mornings journaling. That was the source of this book, Drive Me Wild, A Western Odyssey. Yeah, I would journal every day. I do that every day anyway. But
what a great way to write a book. I love that idea. And then you get done and you can distill it into this wonderful book that lets other people share in your experiences. Also, you mentioned that you did a lot of reading so you knew what was down the road. And I would imagine, you know, you could drive right by Sacagawea's birthplace without even knowing the significance if you weren't diligent about doing your homework.
That's right. And it wasn't just those books. It was also maps. I had three or four different maps at any given time. I was the co-pilot. And it felt like a juggling act at times. You know, the other thing, Rick, is that I learned very quickly that what I thought was going to be very spontaneous, that, if we're going down the street, we can just turn there. Well, you can't turn there if you're a motorhome towing a car.
You know? I've long ago learned that the best spontaneity is from somebody who's well-prepared to know how to be spontaneous because they are prepared.
Absolutely.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're speaking with Christina Nielsen. She wrote a book called Drive Me Wild, A Western Odyssey, talking about Christina just checking out and packing it into an RV and spending 5 years on the road in the United States. Our phone is 877-333-7425, and Holger's on the phone in Tillamook, Oregon. Holger, that's a good place to take an RV, Tillamook.
Yes, sir. I have a question. I have a pickup with a Alaskan camper, and I like to travel, and I like to travel by the seat of my pants, so to speak, without any plan. And sometimes I find it difficult to, especially in the spring or in the summer, to just pull into a space, you know, be it a national park or a forest or whatever, because they say it's all full, except for in places like Alaska. I have no problem camping up there because the state allows you to pull off in a rest area, and you can set up your camper, and the state troopers won't bother you. The same thing with in Nevada. You can stay at a rest area for up to 18 hours and then sleep and just see the sights there and then continue on. But other states, you know, you can't even pull over at night and you know, sleep in your camper for a few hours before they tell you, hey, you can't do that. So how do you go about the logistics of going places ahead of time? You know, it's like a rat race then. It's like, oh, I got to be there at a certain time. I got to be there at a certain date. And then you lose the fun of it.
I stayed away from schedules. I didn't have that sense where I had to be somewhere at a certain date. It was a real challenge to friends because they'd say, well, when are you getting here? And I would give them a 10-day leeway, you know. It's like, I will appear somewhere in this time, and as I get closer, I will call you. It sounds to me that what you're doing is you're trying to stay in campgrounds. And one of the things that I learned very quickly is that if you get to these National Forests or whatever, and you just head down a BLM road, and there are maps that you can get, those big maps that have the atlases in them, that show you the two tracks, the gravel roads. And you can just head down those, and you can find a place to pull off as long as it is federal land, state land.
And does the map indicate what is BLM territory?
Yes, it does.
So it's very clear. There's no guesswork involved
there. The public lands, the Corps of Engineers, they have, you know, the dams for the Corps of Engineers. There are some beautiful places tucked away back in there. But you just got to know where they're at. Now, if you get stuck in a town, there are a couple things you can do. You know, lots of people dry camp at Walmart. You're probably aware of that. And the other thing you can do usually is you can find the police station and ask if you can just park in front of the police station for the night. Usually they will let you do that. And many churches will also let you park in their parking lots. They don't care about that. So there are places, as long as we are neat and tidy and follow those rules.
And it's a good idea to ask, that's right.
Sure. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Holger, thanks for your call.
You're welcome, sir.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
So dry camp, that would just mean camping without any access to water.
Yeah. Well, and hookups. You know, dry camping is really sort of the equivalent to boondocking, only you're doing it in a parking lot or in town.
On pavement, right. I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Christina Nielsen. Her book is Drive Me Wild, talking about 5 years she spent in her RV, sounds like the time of your life. Christina, you spent 5 years. What's your favorite ocean beach experience with your RV?
It has to be the whales. It has to be the whales of Scammon's Lagoon off the Baja. When we were out there parked and heard them spouting and rolling all night long.
Could you park in Baja with an ocean view?
Yes, you can.
Nice. What's the most glorious place you remember just in the nighttime?
Oh, boy, that's a hard one, in the nighttime.
Have you ever been just overwhelmed by the brilliance of the Milky Way?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm trying to think, there are so many places, but it has to be Utah. It has to be the just being out there in the open deserts of Utah with the Milky Way.
You know, a lot of people go through their lives and they've never seen the Milky Way.
It is amazing. I mean, it envelops you. It changes your perspective on how you perceive the world.
Living out of your RV for 5 years, I imagine you had to be very careful about what you lugged along. What little things did you bring to make this RV your home? Music, pets, meaningful souvenirs? What did you do?
Yeah, that's a very good question, because it was very much a Zen experience. You know, when you're paring down, when you're getting rid of 95% of your possessions, what do you keep? And you keep those things that speak to your soul. Of course, you keep your dog. Mm-hmm. that's an obvious answer.
So you can. It is reasonable. I don't care how much I love my dog. I'm not going to take it to Europe on vacation. But if you're going RVing, the dog's fine.
The dog's fine, yeah. Mm-hmm. But the things that speak to my soul, you know, my pen, my paper, I have certain fountain pens, I have paper, I have certain mugs. You know, those things that reflect my rituals, my morning coffee in the morning, all these things that feed my soul, you know, certain clothing, certain shawls, color. Yeah, those are the things.
To make it home. It really was home on wheels, I would imagine.
It really was. It really was home. One of the first things I did in that motorhome was take down a couple mirrors. You know, there are mirrors everywhere in motorhomes to make them appear larger.
Mm-hmm.
So you take those down and you put up paintings and tapestries, yes.
Christina Nielsen is the author of Drive Me Wild, A Western Odyssey. Her book was a finalist for the 2013 Colorado Book Award. You'll find links to her books, photos, and her latest blog observations on her website. That's at ChristinaNielsen.com. That's spelled NEALSON. Now, you wrote that your internal antenna for Wi-Fi hotspots grew stronger every week.
Yeah, that is very, very true.
You can find Wi-Fi on the road pretty easy, I suppose.
Yeah, you can. You can. And much easier now than then. You know, now my experience being on the road in the next five-year period, it's much, much easier. In fact, now, of course, my smartphone operates as a hotspot.
Yeah, and I travel with a little MiFi thing that works wonderful that way.
That's the other thing, right.
What about, you were solar powered, I read.
Yes, had solar power panels on top, and I have them now as well. So I'm energy independent in terms of having to plug in. I have little converters, mm-hmm. So I can do my coffee grinder and all those things.
That must just feel good to be solar powered. You're consuming a lot of gas. You might as well be solar powered if you can.
Yeah, you are consuming gas. But this is the point, and this is the thing that people need to remember about this life, is that if you sell your primary home, you are using an incredibly amount of less energy than if you still have a home and a second home on top of your RV.
Reading your book, it's clear that you have a special relationship with trees. Tell me one of your best tree experiences as you boondocked around the United States.
Yeah. My most special tree was in New Mexico, and it was above Taos. And it was a tree where I would go to meditate, much in the spirit of Buddha. You know, he used to go to trees, to the grove, the sacred groves, to meditate. This tree I would go to many times, and every time I would come back through Taos, I would always make a pilgrimage up into the mountains to this tree. It was a ponderosa. It was an old growth, and that's where I would go to sit and sort of return to the home within myself, because when you take on this kind of life, you have to carry home within you. And yet there are certain landscape points that become your home.
So you had the luxury. I've got that in Europe, where when I get to one town, I always want to go to this viewpoint or that church or this little intersection. And when you're driving around the United States, that's your playground, and you've got a certain tree to remember to go to when you get back in.
Yeah, you have certain trees, like you say, certain spots, those areas that speak to you. Those areas where you will never forget.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been speaking with Christina Nielsen. Her book's called Drive Me Wild, A Western Odyssey. Christina, I was very touched by your comment that, and I'd like to just close with this thought, that the most profound journey that you had as you put in so many countless thousands of miles in your RV was an internal one. What do you mean by that?
It was a sense of learning who I was outside of having to tie myself to a place. My search throughout life has always been to peel away the layers and find out who we are at our core. You know, when I lived alone in the wilderness for 5 years, it was a sense of finding out who I was outside of my roles. Now this was another level. Who am I outside of having a structured home? As I move across the landscape, what will my rituals be now that I don't have a home and a garden and these places that are so important to us? And you learn that you are a citizen of the cosmos, of the entire planet, of the Earth. And it takes reality to a very, very different level.
Given all the pressures in our lives to conform and everything and to be so materialistic, that's a journey that takes a lot of courage, but it sounds like it's richly rewarding.
Indeed. Indeed it is.
Christina Nielsen, author of Drive Me Wild, thank you very much for having this adventure and sharing it with us.
It's a pleasure, Rick. Thank you.
Look deep into the April face. A change has clearly taken place. Looking for the summer. The eyes take on a certain gaze and leave behind the springtime days. Go looking for the summer.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced at Europe Through the Back Door in Edmonds, Washington by Tim Tatton with Sarah McCormick and Isaac Kaplan-Wohner. Thanks to Aaron Harding and Steve Camerano for their help this week, and KNAU Public Radio in Flagstaff for studio help this week. There's more in the radio section of ricksteves.com. You'll find links to our guests, and you can listen to any week's show on demand. Join us again next week for more Travel with Rick Steves.